Welcome to the Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. We hope you enjoy the show.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the very unofficial Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. As always, I am your host, the Right Reverend Bobby Love. I'm joined this evening by my first co-host, Citizen Neil, Mr. Rooney. How are you doing?
All right, apart from the COVID, but shit happened.
Yep, still recovering.
Still pretty bleak, to be honest, so we'll see how it goes.
A wee bit better than you were.
A wee bit better. I managed to walk up to the bowling club the other day, which is a trek in itself. I was stuck enough out for a seat after. So.
If anybody knows where our bowling club is, it's right at the top of one of the hills in Meadowbank. It is the worst hill known to anybody in Edinburgh. It's shocking. So the fact he even got up there without having to fall over at some point is a miracle.
Yeah.
And on that note, my other co-host is back. Although if you're watching on YouTube, you'll not be able to see him. He's otherwise known as Mr. Pixel 5. It's Mr. Monks.
Evening, Jet. A little bit of a technology failure this evening. So dialing in on the phone. I can see your lovely faces, though. So if we were selling this podcast on the sex appeal of my face, then then we're in bother anyway. But we'll just have to wait till next time.
Oh, well, it's such a shame. The housewife's favourite, but can he see his face?
Well, the thing is, if the viewings go up, we might just have to make a point.
That's true, not
right. Being on it.
So anyway, on that nonsense, obviously we've noticed our first pod since before Christmas, so we've got a wee bit to get through, just the usual fare, Citizens, we've got the games, we've got a chat about recruitment because the January window's just finished, Brian Ferguson coming in as well, a bit about the women's team, 20s, Meadowbank, and it's not all going to be doom and gloom about that, which we'll reveal later. A little bit about Mr. Monk's moans, Rooney's rants, Bobby's bonus, and a little bit of housekeeping at the end. So, games. That far back, our first game, unfortunately, is on a pretty poor note, and that was Firth. We were absolutely pumped 4-0. We were there, Rooney, and what was probably the coldest night in Ainslie Park I've had in many years. There was so cold, there was like a cold mist haze across the pitch. It was absolutely freezing. The only entertainment we really got was abusing that stand-side linesman. Who deserved everything he got, really. didn't take too kindly to me saying that his flag's not just for show.
you said that at the 20s as well with the guy.
I said it at the 20s and I said it to the women's, when it was at the women's linesman. No, it was the women's linesman in the cup game. Oh my God, I thought I was going to get throttled. Anyway, so we started off for first 20 minutes wasn't a bad game, actually. Andy Monroe took his abuse quite well. But we kind of capitulated a little bit after that. Rooney?
I've tried my best to erase that from my memory. So that was disgusting. That was every reason why not to be going to watch City, never mind doing it on Friday nights. Bluntly put, sorry. But yeah.
Aye. We'll maybe leave it there. Obviously, there was a highlight. Sir Douglas Gear was back for Dubai for a wee Christmas holiday, I think. The day before or something, he was in like 30 degrees and he came back to Ainslie Park, which is minus 30. Had about six layers on. Had a wee chat to him. And obviously the other following captain, Ross McNamara, was there, so chatting away to him. That was quite entertaining. Football certainly wasn't. Ali, you probably watched the highlights. What's your opinion?
Yeah, I did. Grudgingly watched the highlights. Didn't paint a particularly pretty picture. I think it was a couple of points. That was the second time in four home games that we'd been beaten 4-0, which is just absolutely atrocious. I mean, a 4-0 scoreline at home might happen once a season to a team that has pretensions of, you know, challenging at the top of the league. But if it happened twice in four games, it's just beyond belief. I think it's interesting, though, that if you look at the starting lineup, I think five of the starting lineup are no longer at the club. So that probably gives you an idea of what people thought of that performance and a few others. But yeah, about as miserable way to spend a Friday night as you could possibly imagine. So I think it was actually kind of why I missed it. It was COVID scare or something along those lines. So yeah, was delighted to miss that one, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean it was utterly abysmal. It was almost on a par with Albion Rovers, where that was just completely shite for 90 minutes. At least for 25 minutes against Forfar, we kind of competed a little bit, and then we lost the first goal for, like, it was a set piece, and pretty much every other goal near enough come for a set piece as well. So enough about that. On to the next game, which was our under-20s against Cowdenbeath. We beat them 2-1. I was there in the freezing cold when all the trains were off as well. Only just managed to make it back. But I must say, it was a pretty incredible performance considering we had so many injuries. We'd asked for the game to be called off twice. The gaffer, quite rightly, was furious in his post-match interview, because the SPFL wouldn't like to call it off because we had a 20s team. So it was very much a case of, well, you've got a 20s team, use them, which I can understand to a degree. But of course, if that had been the other way around, then it would have been the game called off. But anyway, so I think the average age, Gary said the starting 11 was 20.7 years.
Mm-hmm.
We had quite a number of youngsters in there. James Farrell was playing, Lucas Berry was playing, Cammy Fraser was playing. Who else was there? There was another under 20 as well.
There's a boy that came on and played left wing.
Oh, aye. What's the other name? Logan came on.
Yeah.
And absolutely hammered Craig Thompson with his first tackle, which was unbelievably hilarious. We didn't even hang about. He was meant to be a right back, played left wing, just came on, just absolutely nailed it. 30 seconds in, wallop. Hello. It was somebody else who was under 20, I can't remember. Doesn't matter. I'll remember it. Obviously, the rest of the team are pretty young. I mean, goalkeeper Schwocki, who had a absolute wonder save at the end. He's only 20 himself. But I thought we defended really well. I know Cowdenbeath are struggling. They struggle to score goals, but they actually play some really nice football at times. But we defended really well. Robo run himself into the ground. He was carrying injury. One of the six or seven that Gary said was playing with injury. Scott Reakey came on, who's meant to be a centre-half. He played in the number 10 role and probably played the best he'd ever played in a City shirt, to be honest. He was absolutely brilliant, and he got the winner as well. Rooney, I think you watched it on the stream. What was your view?
Well, what did we end up? Did we not end up Robertson through the middle, Reakey right wing, and then Logan
left wing? Aye, something like that.
And it was like probably the most unpredictable front three we had, but aye, surprisingly very effective. They'd done exceptionally well. I mean, that's everything you wanted out of a reaction. And I suppose it's good from, we've watched a lot of the 20s. Mm. And I see a lot of the even younger guys now playing in the 20s because some of the older guys are getting into the first team. But that's really what you want. You want to see these young guys come through and try to make a name for themselves and be showing some of the more so experienced pros that they've signed up. How are you about it? So I thought they were really, really good. Really good. Mackay played centre-half. I think that was maybe his last game, wasn't it?
It was. It was also his best ever performance. Him
and Farrell were really, really good at centre half together. They messing about or anything like that. So,
Johnny Jarrin was the other 20, under 20.
Johnny played left back, started left back.
Aye.
So, they were brilliant. It was great to watch. I watched it on the stream because I was working late, so I couldn't get through. And it was also freezing.
I thought the Cope magnificently, to be honest. I was through there with a former chairman, Jalums, and we were chatting on the train going through. And the thing with the 20s is, he says, one of the things with the 20s is put them in and either sink or swim. And very much, as I said in the last podcast as well, our youngsters really have been coming in and swimming pretty well. And I thought they were all, to a player, they're all pretty. They were excellent, really. I mean, can't really fault any of them, I don't think. All worked their socks off, tackle when they need to, head in the way when they needed to, played some nice football when they needed to. So it was a great performance, again. I think I mentioned that Schwocki's save at the end off of Craig Thompson was just unbelievable. Just that tip round the post. And it was going in. When you see it for the camera angle, we weren't sure at the game, but you can see it for the camera angle. That was definitely
going in. Yeah,
it just tipped it round the post. Sensational stuff. Ali?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the key point is you're saying, as Jad said, about the guys coming in, they need to come in and make an impact. It's not as if, you know, the turnover of squads is so big at this level, and you can't, it's hard to have, like, you know, give them a couple of games one season, a couple of games the next season. It doesn't really work like that. If you get a chance to come in, you've got to come and make an impact. And to be fair, the young lads that have come in, they have done that. And I think from what I've seen of them, you guys have seen more of the 20s than me, but what I've seen of the players that have come up to the, you know, that have come up and played in the first team, they look really well coached. You know, like, you know, all decent technique, got good aggression. They look pretty fit physically, and there's not many that have come up that have looked really, like, really kind of powder puff physically either, which is good. So they all look like they kind of take care of themselves. So I think that speaks to the coaching and the professionalism at the younger age groups. Now, there's no kidding, we can't be kidding ourselves. It is very, very hard to bring players through in this league and at this level, you know, purely based on the kind of some of the physicality and things. But if you can do, I suppose, count beneath the waves, probably on a freezing cold Wednesday night, it's probably the actual cliche for difficult things to do. So yeah, fair play to the young lads for stepping up and getting a pretty miraculous victory, because for all Cowden Beath have had an atrocious season, they're actually not that bad a team.
No,
you know, they played us off the park at Ainslie Park earlier in the season. We somehow got a 1-1 draw, which should have been absolutely battered. And their squad's decent, you know, there's good players in that team. But the guys deserve real credit for that. It was an incredible victory.
Absolutely. Apart from the one we'll come to against Forfar, that was probably the best win of the season, arguably.
Yeah.
Mainly because of the circumstances we were under, really. Just before Christmas, wasn't it? Just before or just after, whatever it was. Or just before, because it got brought forward, didn't it? So on for that, we then got a draw against Elgin, 2-2, goal for taps, and a goal from a trialist. Eventually was named as Michael Travis, who signed for us. I don't think any of us were there, were we? Because I certainly wasn't. I had other things to do.
No, I was in isolation.
Oh, you were in isolation, Ali. You were sick as well, weren't you? I think.
I'm sure the wee one was.
That's right.
Ali, I think your wee one was. I'm sure that was. None of us were there because of.
Aye, various reasons. Just life. Life getting in the way, really, yeah. So, 2-2. I don't know if you boys watched the highlights. It was that long ago, I can't remember.
Yeah, I'd watched them. It was a pretty even game from the highlights. You know, I think it was we'd done well. I think we came from behind twice, which is good. Goal from Callum Tapping as well. I think a record against Elgin is really pretty good. So it almost feels disappointing when we draw with them. But you know, Kane Hester scored for them. He always causes us, you know, serious problems. Again, a team that looked like they've got a decent squad, but have really struggled this season. Just part of a very strange league. Based on the highlights, it looked like a draw that took a pretty fair result, to be honest.
So from that, we then move on to big spending Kelty. the away game, a 2-2 draw after going 2-0 down. Watching the highlights, all four goals were horrific from a defensive point of view for both teams, I'm not going to lie. But we were two down with like 10 minutes to go. Danny Handling scored, and then Jack Bryden scored an injury time, which led to some raucous scenes.
Unbelievable
scenes.
Shocking scenes.
Unbelievable. We made the Flov, or for the Fans League of Ermine on Twitter, for those that don't know what it is.
We don't approve of those scenes.
Disgusting scenes. Disgusting. Fans on the pitch. Security guards falling over barriers, chasing fans that were on the pitch. making the terrace Twitter and everything. Oh, it was comedy gold. Anyway, I watched the highlights. It just looked like a funny game. I'm pretty much on record saying I think all three of us are actually saying Kelty probably only as good as the likes of Queen's Park and Cove have been the last couple of years, and even Peterhead going further back.
I think they are as good. I think they are as good, but I think they're very complacent.
I
think they're as good at football, if not better, but I think there's some complacency with that. Some of these players struggle to get themselves up for these games, to be honest with you. And I think that's part of the reason they, you know, some of the points I've seen them drop, I think it's been down to complacency, to be honest. But a very, very good side.
They're on a wobble, certainly.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, for whatever, I mean, I know Rooney's not convinced by them. I know certain esteemed members of the City support aren't particularly impressed by them either, but maybe that's just maybe that's a debate for another day. But got to say, all credit to the boys coming back. Tuna and Dunne could have just thrown in the towel, but done pretty well there. Can't complain, Rooney.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think it was good, to be honest. But they are where they are because of the money they spend. I'm not convinced it should do it. I think one of us could probably go on and with the money they're spending. But they are where they are. You know, they had a good result against St Johnstone in the Scottish Cup recently. Regardless of whether St Johnstone are in the Cup, you know what I mean, in the league, they've done well to beat them. So, yeah, it's a good result. A lot of new signings that day. So it's a good result, probably from home. We had a good performance against them the first time we played them there as well. So, yeah, good point.
Aye. Ali?
Yeah, I think it's one of those results that kind of gets everyone on board, and it's almost worth more than the point, because I think it really, as Rooney just said, there's a lot of new players and for that game, and it just gives everyone that little buzz, you know, even just the clips going viral of certain people appearing on the pitch and things like that. It just gave everybody that buzz. The new guys that were in, it was a great experience for them. So I think actually, despite it being only 1 point, I think it could be something that really that the club can build on this season. I think it's something they can take forward. And I suppose just on Kelty, listen to their manager, he did an interview with that Simon Ferry and Thompson. He must have said how humble he was about 15 or 20 times in a half an hour interview. And whenever anyone makes a point of telling you how humble they are, I would suggest they are not quite as humble as they think they are. So I think some of the issues and the arrogance and the complacency from that Kelly side possibly come from Thompson, to be quite honest with you. Well, that's my take on it. But now, great to get that buzz, that last minute goal. Everyone loves it. And yeah, I think the club can. I think it's helped the new players settle in. To be honest.
Yeah, definitely. On Kevin Thompson, I've met him a couple of times in various work-related environments. He's actually quite a nice guy. but whether that, but you know, yeah. Your football persona and your personal persona can be two entirely different things, eh? Exactly. Everybody's got different personas. It's like Goffman's idea of yourself, isn't it? You know, everybody puts on a different face depending on who they're working with and who they're meeting, eh? So you can be very nice if you're just out in a pub having a pint. But when it comes to being in football, you can be the most arrogant tosser going, eh? So maybe it's a bit of both. There was massive scenes. The security guard falling over was quite funny. The fact is, he went chasing after our contingent, who'd obviously had a wee bit of over exuberance, is what it's called. That's what Hibs fans call it, isn't it? For excusing their behaviour. over exuberance, and by the time our guys had got back onto the right side of the barrier, the security guard hadn't even picked himself up yet. If you've got go and find it on Twitter, people, if you haven't seen it, it's absolute comedy gold, man. It's hilarious. Anyway, right, next game, our big cup day, away day at Aberdeen. We had a lovely day, Ali, it must be said, up on the train in the a local boozer for a couple of pints, which was quite nice. The stag, it was called. Lovely gaff. The view was nowhere near as bad as advertised by Mr. Rooney. It was actually pretty decent, considering some of the way guys go to. I don't know where you guys normally stand as Hearts fans, but the view is absolutely fine. But obviously, we went up there. We got beat 3-0. I don't think anybody really expected anything other than getting beat. In fact, 3-0 is probably better than some people predicted. I know we were kind of backs against the wall for quite a lot of the game. We had two centre half, Lee Hamilton come back for his first game in what's about 6 months, alongside young James Farrell, who's never played against that kind of quality player before. Schwocki had some great saves. I wasn't particularly impressed with Aberdeen, it's got to be said. If that's what they get served up every week, I can see why their fans are really annoyed with them, is all I'm going to say. I thought we worked hard. It was never really going to be much else. I think Gary is setting them up just to kind of not get pumped rather than trying to score any goals, really. Although we had one in the first half. Was it the first half? Second half. Usually looked like he broke through but was given offside. Everybody, we can't really see it from our angle. We thought he'd managed to Bendy's run. But then I can't look like on the stream, I don't know. Ali, you were up there with me. We had a lovely day. What's your view?
It was good. It's first good cup draw we've had in a long, long time, to be honest. We used to get the way there. It was good that most of the COVID regulations were away, so we could do it relatively freely. I thought the guys did fine. They acquitted themselves relatively well. I was severely disappointed when I saw the Aberdeen team sheet, because I mean that was the first choice 11. It was the same team that had started against Rangers in the midweek. So you know they'd taken the game probably a bit too seriously to be quite honest with you. So I think it was a good experience for the guys. I thought, yeah, for Farrell to come in and get that kind of experience was really good for him. It was nice to have the away day. But yeah, I think Aberdeen really, I don't think it's exclusive to that game. Obviously, you watch the step up in quality and how easily guys like, you know, Brown and Ferguson moved the ball around and how easily they held our guys off. That's because they're good players, they're international players. But there wasn't much in the way of like, you know, clever attacking play. There wasn't much in terms of penetration or creativity. A lot of shots from distance. A lot of them off target, actually. You know, Swaki made a few tremendous saves, but yeah, they weren't. I wasn't hugely impressed by Aberdeen, and I haven't really been in the times I've watched them play. Pretty much of a position, to be honest with you. But I think it was you know, the last time we played a top flight team in that level, that round of the cup was away at Hamilton Accies, where we got beat 5-0, and I don't think we actually crossed the halfway line. So it was a better scoreline, and we had a shot on target. I think young Lucas Berry had a shot on goal quite late on. So yeah, it was certainly an improvement on the trip to Hamilton anyway.
I think it was an improvement on the trip to Hamilton. Although the day actually to Hamilton wasn't bad, and we put in that we met. But I think the only entertaining part about the Hamilton game was I gave up after 3 goals and started dancing bits and pieces, which was wholesome. Rooney, you watched it on Aberdeen TV, I think. What was your view?
I don't have anything really to add to what you have said, apart from just man of the match is fully deserved for James Farrell.
Aye.
For me.
Aye.
He played exceptionally well for a young guy stepping in there to play centre-half against one of the so-called bigger teams in the country. You know, and acquitted yourself exceptionally well. So, you know, fair play to him and obviously the rest of the guys. But, you know, a young guy at his age doing what he's done.
Aye. I thought his interview was brilliant. You could just tell he was delighted. He was, to use the old football cliche, he was absolutely buzzing. Fortunately, I never said that. I can't remember him saying that. I was expecting, I'm absolutely buzzing. You know, that never got any of the cliches. So no, it was good. He played really, really well. Can't fault him at all. He was brilliant. So I mean, the one thing I'll say about the day to Petrovsky was they can really charge. Christ almighty, it was like £3.50 for a pie. And I'm like, oof. This is like, I'm used to like 2 prices, eh? You can get 2 pies and a bovril for about a fiver, eh? 2 pies and a bovril up there, it was over a tenner. Fucking hell. Anyway, goodness me. And that was on top of, remember the taxi? That was on top of the taxi that we got for the pub, which is even more expensive than Aberdeen one. That's an Edinburgh one, sorry.
I know.
Unbelievable. And then he dropped us off at the wrong place as well. We missed kickoff. Funny. We literally told him, drop us at the way end, and he drove all the way into Dodgy Street. I'm like, oh, anyway, enough of that. Anyways, a lovely day out. I'd recommend good days out like that. We didn't get them often. So, next game was Forfar, which was last Monday. Postponed for the Saturday. I'm quite surprised we actually managed to get rearranged so quickly. Mm-hmm. Something to go up twice within 2 days. 1-3-2, and what was a game of 2 halves, really. First half, we played brilliantly. I thought it was probably the best first half I'd seen this all season, really. Tony Mack scored, Danny Handley scored a beauty. And then second half, we kind of discompomperated a little bit. Although when they scored, we went immediately up the park and scored again. And I scored off a rebound for a Danny Handley shot. And then Ben Stirling went off and we just seemed to kind of collapse a little bit, I think. I think he's kind of come in and played in that kind of defensive midfielder role. We'll probably get into that with recruitment, which was allowing Callum Tappan to go and do what Callum Tappan does best. But you can see the difference after Stirling went off, I think. It's back to the wall stuff, really. Although I'm saying that, Swocky didn't have a huge amount of day, I guess. Had some good saves. I mean, we watched it on the stream together, Rennie. What's your view there?
I thought they played really well in the first half as well. And then I think you're always going to get, especially when you go away from home, it's very, very rare that you dominate a game for the whole game. You know, you're always going to get a reaction out of the opposition. So, yeah, we'll come on to recruitment. But I thought they played very, very well. Actually, well, a wee bit of the second half, but you'd expect that away from home. Especially the team we were playing, you know, one of the teams that you'd expect to be pushing Kelty. I thought they played really, really well, and a lot of the new boys slotted in, but just in no disrespect to Johnny Rearon, because he's a young guy, but just having somebody like Callum Crane playing left back, massive. Just a massive difference, eh? So, and then Kieran Bryan come on and slotted in there at one point as well. So, you know, yeah, really, really impressed.
Yep. Ali?
I think the best first half we had all season. I think it was the first time in, I can't remember how long, that the teams, you know, probably the first time this season that you've looked at the team and thought, that's a good balance there. You know, Logan at right back, Crane at left back, as Rooney's just said, makes a huge difference. Stirling makes things a lot more solid. You've got the threat of, you know, Anthony McDonald out wide. It just felt like, yeah, that is a solid team. That's a well-balanced team. The display was tremendous, some real quality as well. And yeah, second half for a good side. Like, you know, let's be realistic. They are, you know, they're in a good position in the league, and, you know, gave us an absolute doing not too long previously. So it was an absolutely tremendous result, and that first half performance, if we can get to those types of levels on a regular basis, then, you know, we're going to be in a really strong position to get into the playoffs and kind of kick on from there. But now, if we can just repeat that first half, and I get, just for me, it was just about the balance. It just looked like a well balanced team for the first time in a long, long time.
Aye, we'll go into recruitment, because obviously there's one point that we've made all season about recruitment, and it's kind of shown that we were correct. But we'll come on to that later. So we had onto the last game that we need to review. That is Stranraer at the weekend. We won 2-0 in a mud bath. Wind blowing an absolute hooly. Pissing down the entire game. Probably one of our worst performances of the season. There's no getting around it. I cannot describe how shite we actually were. So sorry if you're any boys are listening, but it was not a good performance. Gary, in his post-match interview, you could tell, was absolutely furious.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen Gary quite as furious in a post-match interview all season, and we'd won 2-0. And he said that. He pretty much said that when he says, like, give credit to the lads for all, like, and you've got to give credit to them for digging in, no losing, playing poorly and winning and all that kind of stuff. But he says, that's the first time I've had to take that group of players and absolutely give them a rollicking. And yeah. I think they needed it because we were poor. First half, it was wave after wave of attacks after we got the opener after 35 seconds. And it was just wave after wave of Stranraer attacks. Shockey had two or three brilliant saves. Chinky Hilton, obviously back at Stranraer, he somehow contrived to put a shot over for 4 yards. He had one of their other players shot over for 6 yards, two open goals. They should have scored. They hit the post 3 times. It was just, then even after the red card, which was a red card when you view it, by the way. So if the Stranraer commentators have a listen to this, you need to get a grip of yourselves after that commentary. They were good for the majority of the game, but that was embarrassing.
And they normally are very good, to be fair.
They're normally a couple of very good guys, but Saturday was just abysmal. Like, Danny Handlin was faking it and all that. He said in the post-match interview, he's picked up a knock because of it, man. It was a shocker. And the fact that as soon as the red card came out, the boy just walked.
I don't know. I think he's picked up a knock after his horrendous attempt at a clinchman.
Well, maybe Maybe we'll come into that in a second. But that's a shocker, eh? When you see these post-match interview as well, what about that? What about you? See, I regretted it as soon as I done it, man. I was absolutely soaking. but I mean, the tackle was not a good tackle. I mean, Tommy, he just immediately just started walking as soon as the red card came in. There was no complaints. He knew what was happening.
The player
knew. So, I mean, we can't really say much.
No.
Ali, you watched that on the stream as well.
I did, yeah. It was I mean, it could have easily been 3 or 4 nothing to Stranraer, and we wouldn't have had any complaints at all. We were absolute muck. Highlight of the game was probably you and I arguing on WhatsApp over whether playing it in the wind or downwind was a help or a hindrance. But I do maintain my belief that it seems to be every time we play downwind, we just hoof the ball, and we're not our best when we're hoofing the ball, and we just, I don't know if the wind blows, it just affects us somehow, and we're just punting the ball about, and it was absolute garbage, absolute immense. So I don't know how we've won that game. Second goal was quite good, actually. And I suppose the delivery for the first goal was also little bits of quality, but yeah, we were another day, every other day, 99 times 100, we get a bit of a doing there and very much deserve it. So hopefully, if Naismith has given the players a bit of a going over for it, that there is a reaction coming, because yeah, that was an absolutely atrocious display. Not helped by the conditions, obviously. You know, it was never going to be a nice game of football, but yeah, we were very, very bad.
I mean that's two games in a row we've been doing and just absolutely mugged them. I mean, there's no getting around that. The first one we won was at 1-0, and that's when our friend Chris Morris was tweeting saying it was the best save he'd ever seen in his life for Schwalke. Even our commentators brought that up in the commentary, saying it was just the Schwalke show. I wouldn't say Saturday was quite the Schwalke show, but it wasn't far off.
I don't think it was a Schwalke show because they missed that many.
Well, there's that too. There's quite a lot going off target, and they had to post all that. But the thing is, what I suppose what we're going to say about the, like, we're going on quite a lot, but I think we're rightly going on quite a lot because he's been an absolutely fantastic find, and he's been brilliant so far. Like, he obviously got a player of the match on Saturday, but sometimes a good goalkeeping performance doesn't need to see mean you're like tipping ones in the post every 2 seconds. You know what I mean? Just doing things right, like coming out at the right time, blocking at the right time, you know, just kind of organising things right, that kind of thing. I mean, there was a couple of like really big stops he had in the first half, and it was just because he came out, he'd anticipated properly and right, and he came out and he blocked them and things like that. So that's the kind of thing when you want a goalkeeper to do it, have a good performance. It's not just razzmatazz and Hollywood saves. It's, as Jarrod would always say, get the basics right. And he did that in abundance on Saturday. And to be honest, apart from maybe Danny and Callum Crane at a push, I think the rest of the team they can have no real complaints, to be honest. So anyway, right, so that's pretty much it for games.
I have to say, well done to Danny on scoring a double, getting man of the match, getting in team of the week.
Yeah, well done, Danny. Team of the week. Lovely goals.
Certainly not a double.
Lovely goals.
I believe, Luke,
it
sounds like you're breaking up there. Is that you confirming a double
for
Danny?
This is just typical. A goal and an assist for Danny.
I cannot believe that Ali is wanting to take a goal for Danny on his birthday weekend. I mean, that's just a disgrace. I mean, come on, it's the guy's trying to celebrate his birthday here. Are you trying to take goals off him? You're a joke.
He can have the assist. He's a goal and an assist for Danny.
All I'll say is that John Robertson gave Danny the goal. And they're having a fight between who's going to be top scorer for this season.
I think, Luke, our podcast's always democratic. We've had a vote. Two of us think it's a double. One doesn't. So it's a double to Danny Hanlon. So well done, Danny.
Well done, Dan. Yes, well done on your team of the week. We know you'll be listening, so well done on that. You won some other award during the week as well. SPFL Twitter thing that some fan site or something, one player of the week for League Two. So well done. And a belated happy birthday to me. That's the end of the games. We've got Stirling Albion on Friday. I've seen the weather forecast. Wrap up one, please. So we've got that. Stirling are a funny team. They've not really had the best of runs recently. We're on a pretty good run. Can't really say much together with that. So fingers crossed for Friday. Next part of the pod is recruitment. As you probably would have seen, we had quite a number of ins and outs over the last month and a wee bit before that too. I had to go back into our WhatsApp chat there, lads, to figure out who's in and who's out because I wasn't going to write it all. So far we have said goodbye to Scott Rickey, Lewis Kidd, Tim Kelton, Michael McFarland, Stephen Bronski, Goodfellow, Chris Kane, Toshney Ferguson and our friend Alan Smith, who signed for Spartans, so he's now dead to me. don't care if he scored that goal at Stirling Albion, that one will be getting tweeted again. Signing for Spartans. Him and Blair Henderson, man. Anyway, right. And then we've got Bryden, Tony Mack, Michael Travis, Jack Layfield, the backup keeper, Cammy Logan on loan for Hearts, and Ben Stirling on loan for Hamilton. I'll let you guys go first on this because I've got my opinions. Ali, you go for it.
Yeah, I think in terms of players, well, first thing is when you look at the players that have gone out, the amount of them that were signed this summer, repeating ourselves obviously, but the recruitment in the summer, pre-season cannot be repeated. You know, no matter what division we're in, just nowhere near good enough. And at least with, irrespective of what you think about the individual decisions, at least it's obvious now that the club accepts that was unacceptable. Basically, in terms of the standard of players brought in terms of players I'm disappointed in. I thought Bronski was okay, actually. You know, I do like an aggressive centre-half. So we'd have happily kept him, wouldn't have had any issues with that. You know, Alan Smith just was never able to recover from his injury. And, you know, but disappointing in the idea of Alan Smith more than the actual player he'd kind of unfortunately become. I didn't mind Hilton. You know, he did have an impact. We never really got a run of games. But in terms of the outgoings, not shedding any real tears, to be honest with you. There's a couple of absolute punts. Toshney was clearly a punt. Chris Kane was a panic, I guess, to be honest with you. And I think it's not losing any sleep over the players that have been shipped out. In terms of the players that have come in, obviously the headline signing is Tony McDonald. Interesting to see whether he can get his career back on track with us. Still a young guy, you know, still a really, really young guy, and he certainly would not have expected this is where he's going to be playing his football at this age. You know, he looked back old interviews and things like that, he was a confident lad. So let's hope we can give him the platform and he can deliver for us to get his career back on track. I like the balance Logan gives us. I like the solidity Stirling gives us, and that was the big thing that was missing, was that, you know, Stirling, he's going to be playing defensive midfield, frees Tapping up to do the things that Tapping is actually good at, and I presume the reason we signed him. I think that does make us a much, much stronger team. And I really like the Travis signing, to be honest. I think he's been a good defender for a number of years now. He's really good with the ball. You know, you don't see that all that often. Conrad was always good with the ball, actually. And I like having a centre-half who's willing to pass the ball. So really impressed with the Travis signing. And I'm not entirely sure how we got him, to be honest. So, you know, he's had his injury issues. But delighted we've got him in. I think he can be a big player for us. So in general, really happy with the business. Corrected some of the wrongs from the pre-season. And just as long as those lessons have been learned and we can't have a recruitment like we did last year, you can just look at the results of it, that, you know, half of them have been shipped back out the door within a couple of months. So yeah, no, very, very positive, and puts us in a much stronger position to get into the playoffs and try and get out of the division.
Yep, really.
I can't agree with Ali. I think to add, it's good to see them sign a backup goalie for the amount of times they've signed what's in their 20s, and the 20s goalie's first choice has been, you know, on the bench, so he can't play for the weekend. That's him tied for the weekend, so it's a big thing to sign a backup goalie. You're not going to lose sleep over some of the guys leaving. I think he looked all right when he didn't play the right back, but too many times he's been left back and just looked out of place, you know. Disappointing. Ferguson's away. Michael McFarlane as well. He looked, you know, decent at the start of the season when we seen him. He thought this guy could have a ton of pace and be what we needed. You know, when I watched him at Bonnyrigg, him and Jinky looked. Yeah. I know they're playing Bonnyrigg, but Bonnyrigg are a tough team, mate. So, and it just never worked out for them for whatever reason. So, yeah, disappointing, but good to get Tony McDonald in. I've watched Tony McDonald, a 16-year-old playing in the Premier League. Guy's a talent. So, whatever's happened. And look, Alex says he needs to get his career back on track, and hopefully we can help him do that. So, but Stirling makes a difference. Having a stopper, like we've said it enough. They said it enough to the guys at the games, and the guys' games will remain nameless. It was Standway or won't stand, I mean, speak to regularly. All agree we should have had a stopper in. whether that's he's probably if Willard has just let them go and he thought he could get somebody and not been able to, is probably what's happened. Do you know what I mean? So Sterling's very different from the two guys we had before. You know, he's maybe not as athletic yet to see, because only seeing him on stream, we'll probably get a good view of him. But he's going to mop up a lot in front of that back four, and he's going to stop a lot getting in front of that back four. Do you know what I mean? He's going to win a lot in the air and everything like that. That's a physical presence there that's almost a NBA-style centre playing in front of the hoop. You know what I mean? He's there to do your stopper, and that's it. And what the other guys maybe won't need to go up and win as much and stuff. So, and then as we've seen against Swampford, it brings out more out of tapping. So it'd just be interesting to see who, you know, he seems to have played a couple of games now. We've played 4-2-3-1. And it probably makes us more settled now we've got a stopper in there. And it's probably maybe going to be the way forward. He's going to have options. He might be able to, sorry, Ali. Now he's got options in, he might be able to play Robbo through the middle and give you a break a bit, you know, and play Hanlon one side and McDonald the other and rotate it a wee bit just to give you a bit of a break. But just, I mean, the boy Logan has a big reputation at Arts, so we'll see how well he is and how good he does. And, you know, as much as these guys are really, really good, one of our bigger assignments could easily be if Callum Crane coming back to fitness and playing left back. Because as much as Johnny's done well, you know, from watching the 20s and stuff, the guys see Johnny's probably more of a centre half than playing left back. So, yeah. I was trying not to be too negative, but the positives, when you look at still having the guys that are probably still out to go, the squad's actually not that bad on paper. The squad is still pretty good. You know what I mean? If they had everybody in. You know what I mean? So I don't think we'd have too much of a problem. Kieran Bryan's a good player. Played a lot of left back. But, you know, if I be a right back, he's equipped himself very, very well. So, like I said to you at the weekend, our looks changed after Stranraer, the smash and grab. You know what I mean? Hopefully there's no inquests into it. You know, there's enough other stuff going on in the world that we need inquests for. No, for us getting a smash and grab, it's done.
I mean, I think we covered that for pretty much the season starting, all the points that we've had. The recruitment was shambolic. There's no two ways to get around that. The thing we've been crying out for the entire season, the defensive midfielder, to let Tappan do what Tappan does. And we've been proven right so far in the short kind of the small sample size that we do have. I mean, you saw against Forfar when Ben Stanley went off, we just kind of stopped playing really. The shape lost the shape. You know, Tappan got a little bit overrun in his own, and that's not really his fault. You know, I mean, even on Saturday, they ended up having to put Bryden into there because Sterling came off injured because Lee Hamilton went into centre half. The thing we've already been crying out for, we've at least righted that wrong. Hopefully, he's not too bad, but he took a dead leg or something, they say there. So,
but it's maybe try to play devil's advocate, and it's maybe the style of stopper he wanted. You know, to put Callum Crane in there doesn't fit because Callum's natural instinct is to go. Do you know what I mean? And I know we've had guys that he could have kept and whatever, but you know, it's maybe his natural instinct to have a big guy in there that'll win balls in the air. Do you know, and that's you've seen that at the weekend, they put Bryden in there, moving the centre half forward on to go and just do that and win the balls.
And saying that, it's also the fact we've not got anybody else to replace him if he gets injured. So,
well, that's the thing as well, that's what I'm saying. No, but if Sterling's injured, then he puts Bryden in there in the middle of the park on Friday. You realise that's what he's styling. I'm not saying the guy's on the mobile, but he's wanting a guy in there that's a bit more, it's a bigger, maybe a bigger press. Maybe a Nat Weatherburn would have been, you know what I mean, that style of guy sitting in there rather than somebody who's like a Callum Crane who could do the job and win the ball in the middle of the park. But he's instantly able to drive forward, and that's not what you need.
I think that's a change, though, because I think he initially thought he could win the division or compete by just being attacking, having guys like McFarlane and Ferguson and Hilton, and he's brought those three players on, all three are away now. I think the idea was that they could almost play through this, and it just isn't happening. I think this is a much more pragmatic, realistic approach now. So I think I hope it's a learning from the manager in terms of how he's setting his team up, and as well as, you know, in terms of how we do the transfers. But that's what it feels like to me anyway. That's a bit of a change of approach based on how the season's gone so far. So
yeah, I tend to agree with that, to be honest. I think in terms of who's out, I mean, I'm not going to be shedding any tears on really any of them, to be honest. I never really saw enough of Jinky. I was obviously our friends over at Pure Football and that said that was a great signing, but he never really proved to be, I guess. I don't know if he just wanted to get back to Stranraer, maybe, if that was the issue. Same for Bronski. I quite like Bronski. I don't know if that's maybe work-related because he's got to work through there and all that kind of stuff. So there might be other reasons that they two guys have gone, but the rest of the team, I've got absolutely no issue disappearing, to be honest. I'm not so sure about Ferguson. He looked all right. He looked tidy in the ball, but I'm not sure he was necessarily dominant enough for what he was meant to be, his build. And now he's moved to Cowdenbeath, which I think's a bit of a sideways move for him. I don't know. Although the way Cowdenbeath are playing, it might actually suit him, because they're not playing the usual hoof like they did under Bow, and they're actually playing some football. So might be better for him. I don't know. The one thing I will say, obviously, a couple of the guys have come in with injury records. We know exactly the most positive of teams when it comes to injuries over the last 2 or 3 years. So fingers crossed that doesn't bite. And I still think we're maybe a little bit short for the amount that we've shipped out, for how many we've shipped in. That's like 4 players down. So we're even shorter in terms of numbers than we were before. So it might be a case of quality over quantity, but should anybody go well with our track record this season, that might be a wee bit of concern, just to kind of, I don't know, devil's advocate, pessimistic, I don't know what you want to call it. I mean, fortunately, obviously, Rab's on his way back. As we saw at the weekend, I think he's back training with boots on. Danny Jardine played last night against Dunbarn, a friendly. Lee Hamilton's pretty much back. I think that's pretty much all. I mean, I suppose we can add to the 20s. I mean, Lucas Berry's been magnificent since he came in, so has James Farrell. Can't really say anything wrong with that. So, I mean, I wouldn't have much problems with Berry playing in the middle if we needed it anyway. So, maybe, but I don't know if that's part of Gary's thinking. Anyway, any last points on that before we move on to the new assistant manager? No, right, okay. Obviously, another big signing in the window. Got ourselves a new assistant manager, Brian Ferguson, former manager of Stenhouse Muir. I must say, so far, he comes across really well. His interviews are brilliant. Very clear, very concise, very well spoken. His Twitter persona is exactly the same. His threads over the last wee while to do with how many Scottish players are getting signed within the SPFL, especially in the Premiership, are quite interesting to read. But he comes across really well. I don't know. I mean, me and Rooney have spoke at this at length. If this is the difference, now we can see a difference in the team. If that's also his influence on the team as well, we just look a lot more calm and a lot more settled, and he comes across as a lot more calm and a lot more settled than maybe previous assistant managers were. Rooney, we had our theory. You can describe what we're talking about.
Well, I don't. To go on to your first point about different assistant managers, I think you could probably see he's probably got like what Murray did when he first came in. It's probably the yin and yang of the two of them. I don't know if Crawford, from my point, I think this is what you're alluding to. I don't believe Crawford was maybe the right balance for him, because I think we all knew Crawford was going to be a stopgap. Probably somebody else thought he was going to get the job at some one point, but he was maybe the stopgap to go, I'm just here till I get a job. And maybe Gary was aware of that. Probably was, do you know what I mean? But I think if Brown come in, like, hoping it'll last longer than Grant Murray, but obviously, I don't know, he'll be out of job now, will he?
He is, aye.
So, you know, Brown comes across very, very well. How he articulates comes across great. And like you say, a calm and influence, and maybe it's going to be the yin and yang, which is what you need, which is all manager duos need, you know what I mean? So you need somebody to bounce off and somebody to work beside. And maybe at times, maybe Brown's, like what Ali's mentioned about, it's a change of tact to the guys we've got in now. Maybe Brown's influence is probably there to go, look, there's times you can play, but it's a lot of battling at this level, you know. So, and maybe the managers, I'm not saying he wouldn't have realised that, but maybe he's got to realise that a wee bit more, and having Brown in there for his experience will make a massive difference.
Aye. Ali?
Yeah, I think we've said it before, that Naismith did need, does need, and does rely on an assistant manager. I think Naismith's been quite open about that in some of his interviews, and he seems to leave a lot of responsibilities to the assistant manager. You hear him, he had that half an hour interview he did a few weeks or a few months ago now. We talked about the different roles that he's given in his backroom staff, and they do seem to get a lot of responsibility on the training pitch. So maybe Gary's not a training pitch manager, which is of course absolutely fine. And if Brown is in there organising things and making a difference, yeah, but I think same as you guys, been really, really impressed with what I've heard from him. And I think if it is that more, giving us a bit more of a defined way of playing, you know, first of all, making us hard to beat, still, you know, trying to pass the ball and things like that. But yeah, made a really, really big impact. I don't really remember. I remember him at Stenhouse Muir, but never made a huge impression on me, to be honest with you. I don't remember.
You got them promoted, if I remember right.
How long ago was that?
Hardly.
Oh. Must be about 3 or 4 years ago now, is it?
Was he not been a manager somewhere else since?
He's at Linlithgow Rose in between.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Al, interrupted you there. Sorry.
No, that's interesting. Like I said, he's not, you know, I don't have any real preconceptions about the guy, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, been really impressed. And early indications are that his, you know, whether it's his impact, whether it's new signings, it'll be a bit of both, but, you know, a bit more defined way of playing a bit more solid. So yeah, no, delighted to have him on board. And as we said, Naismith does need a strong assistant manager with him. And hopefully he's not just a stopgap. Like you said, it's a good point about Crawford. He was always going to be a stopgap. So yeah, glad he's in place. And there's a new coach being promoted as well, I think. They'd said to someone's been in, they've taken one of the young guys is now full-time coach. So, you know, if we're getting the staff in place for the players, that'll make a big difference.
I can't say further than that. I mean, I think we said that we've got a very clear defined number one and number two now, I guess. That's, I suppose, can only be a bonus. As I said, I think his interviews are excellent. I would probably... would be too disparaging, but we've obviously sometimes criticised the way Gary kind of wobbles a little bit and goes on and cuts Callum off a little bit sometimes, which is infuriating, not just for us, but quite a lot of the fan base, I believe. So Brown's, it was just a refreshing change. That's probably a good way to put it. Not to have him maybe every week, but certainly every now and then, because he's quite clear and he's quite concise and he lets the questioner ask his questions. Anyway, so from that, that's the men's team done and dusted. Women's team, they've had their winter break. Women's team have had their winter break. I'll get that out eventually. What a nightmare.
Unbelievable.
Oh, shocker, right? So they've not actually had that many games. They've been four, missed last week because there was other teams need to catch up. But first one back. The goals were on YouTube. I was going to look at them again today. They've been taken down for some reason. I don't know.
Aye. All right,
okay. They were on YouTube.
All right. Blame Dave.
Another one to blame Dave. Hope he's listening. 15-1 against St Mirren, away for home. Goals are shared about here. We've got McCall with 5, Pickham with 3, Hannah Preston with 3, Hannah Markley, Erin Burns, Amy Lynch, Caitlin Russell, all with a goal each. Folk are going to look at that and go, that's just look at the result. But we kind of needed it, I guess, for the goal difference at the top. Because goals fly in. There's a very clear delineation between who's at the top of the league and who's below that kind of mid-table cut-off. As we'll be going into the... I think there's a split from 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
And we need to get there to be near the top. Ball accounts, we played pretty well. Just one of those games, really, where everything kind of went right. So it was a good result. Onto the, I guess, did you see the goals actually, Rooney?
No, I never. It's one game that I don't know if I've seen two or three of the goals near the end, or if we turned it on and they had stopped scoring goals.
So aye, but a big win, a needed big win. Then we had our cup tie against Celtic, which is pretty much the reverse. The poor opposite, done it to an end. Decent wee crowd in as well, actually. Was it just Celtic fans, surprisingly? And you managed to get a pie, so that was handy. 12-0 reverse, there's not really much we can say about that, to be honest. It's very clear for those that one of their Celtic are a full-time team, they have international footballers on their team, and you can see the difference between them. You know, this is a full-time professional outfit compared to, I know it'd be disparaging that way, we're essentially an amateur outfit who pay to play. And I think Laura said that in an interview, if you've not listened to it. So,
but to be fair, and it's maybe just an East Coast West thing, but every little niggle, the showery cheating bastards still got it. So,
I said that in one of my tweets. Honestly, doesn't matter who they are, the Celtic team still get everything.
Honestly, it was a typical East Coast West.
Well, that was just thing. It was, there was.
Honestly, so bad at times. There was no need for the referees to do what they do. The rest of every other level of Scottish football and cheat for one of the other ugly sisters, because the level, and no disrespect to our girls, because they're great to watch, but when a team's full time, like that, you could just tell straight away. You know what I mean? It was like, but all the wee contentious things and everything, it was unbelievable.
There was an example, it was the first half. Who was it got? I think Hannah Preston got absolutely walloped there. Referee just waved play on. Went to another end, roughly the same tackle for Kelsey Ball, and she got booked. And I'm like, how does that work? You know what I mean? It's like exactly the same, you know?
I think it was at that, although the highlight of that night for me was when you say to the linesman, I was giving him dog's abuse just because I could. And he obviously got something completely wrong. I wouldn't do it just for the sake of it.
What had happened is he missed one of the Celtic players going right through Beth Pearson. It was a shocking tackle. I think it was Beth anyway. It was a shocking tackle. Like, our bench were in uproar, you know what I mean? And they were going absolutely crazy. And the referee just waved play on, and the linesman's looking right at it.
It's at that point that I turned and said, come on, linesman, you can use your effing flag. And they just ignored me. And then you very quietly, politely went, Mr. Official, remember, your flag's not just for show. And he turned round and gave you a dirty look.
Which replied, what part of that is incorrect? He was not impressed.
There's always one that tries to take the moral high ground and rubs you up the wrong way. That was quite good.
Go. The thing was, at the time, he was getting an absolute earful for the management team, quite rightly. It was a shocker, and he just let go.
He was trying to offer him sweets and everything and all that at the start. Yeah, that was ridiculous. Ali, you miss these. You miss it.
Anyway, it's one of these ones you had to be there. But then, obviously, with the Celtic game, we lost our goalie Kelly pretty early to a knee injury she was hobbling about, and she's missed the other two games we've played since. Yeah. Laura came in, Laura Connolly, and she played pretty well, actually. Had a couple of, so three or four outstanding saves in the second half, like really, really good saves. If you haven't, well, we'll come at that maybe at the end. Then we move on. You were at the next game, the league game against Renfrew, 2-1 win.
That was probably the most evenly contested match, and probably that was competitive. I ended up standing with young Jack, who does social media as well. And one of their players got sent off for kicking, I think it was Anna Martha, in the face. But the ball went, and I followed the ball, and as I guess the girls fell down, she flicked her back leg up and caught Hannah in the face. But you know when you like you turn and you half don't see it sort of thing, and all you heard was boosh like against somebody's face. I was like, oh, that's somebody had a kick in the face. You just get Hannah in there. But one of their guys was standing next to us in the second half, and he was like, ah, she's deliberately meant that. We were like, but the referee again. Everybody everybody went over and was like, "What? Can't you believe you've done that?" Blah, blah, blah. And the ref's like, "Well, I didn't have to show up. It was for two cards. I'd already booked her." And everybody's standing. Like, there was a few of their players there, and they're like, I don't know if it was a couple of the girls that were there for Celtic, but everybody's standing going, he's not even shown a yellow card to anybody in this first half. How would you send somebody off for saying it's a second yellow? It's a straight red. Just copped out. But very competitive, very hard fought. I think they probably really have to earn that victory. So fair play to them on doing that. You know, not the most, I think, like we said before, when you watch them, but more like we've alluded to, there's a severe gulf in class of the teams right at the top. And that's no disrespect to the teams at the bottom, but there's a severe gulf in class of the teams right at the top to the teams at the bottom. And it's probably no good for anybody because it's not going to be competitive enough for them. Do you know what I mean? So I think what Jack and that were talking about is hopefully the league structure will change to try and make it so these things level out and make it. And we were speaking to Dave as well at half time about it. So hopefully these things happen to make it, you know, just to try and keep it competitive. And when we do eventually, if we ever get there to Meadowbank and the girls are playing there, I would thoroughly recommend going to watch them on a Sunday afternoon.
Aye, definitely. I mean, the thing is, it was good that we managed to dig out a result. Because I think a couple of narrow ones have went against us. So that kind of, the fact we managed to be able to dig out a win is good.
It's hard though, you know, to have that mentality to go and try and dig it out when you're so used to probably blowing teams away and not even maybe, there'll probably be times they've probably not got out of second gear. Do you know what I mean? And they've completely dominated. And then your mind shifts to go, hold on a minute, we really need to battle here. So yeah, it was a really, really good game though, to be fair. Both
the thing is, well, the fact that they dug out after getting such a pasting off of Celtic, I mean, that speaks volumes of the character of the team as well, I would suggest. The last game was a 1-0-1 away at Airdrie. Nicole Rutherford with the goal, as she so often does, comes up with big goals at big times. That kept us top. There was no seam around like that, and we couldn't get through, unfortunately. So that's that. We're now sitting third on goal difference, I think it is. Other teams have got a game in hand. We don't play our next game until a week on Sunday. I think it's the 20th, is that? Not the 20th?
Yeah.
We're at home. So that'll be a big one to get in. That'll be the one before the split happens. So, yep, if you can, guys, please do get along as we keep saying. They play some wonderful football and it's well worth going to watch, especially as they're going for promotion. They can really support them as best you can. On that, 20s, been a few 20s games since. Well, two or three, anyway. We had that one at Pennycook when we went on the Magical Mystery Tour with your sat-nav.
Well, it did take us the quickest route.
It did, but it was like something to a horror film.
It was somebody roads that took us on was ridiculous.
Aye, some dark country roads and all that. Ended up at the back of the school that we were playing at anyway. But I think it was a 2-1, wasn't it? Quinn Mitchell scored a couple of goals for the left back, who was particularly impressive by all accounts. He played quite well.
Yeah.
Last night as well. Dunbar against Dunbar. I think I've got his name right there. Apologies if I've made an ass for that. We didn't get team sheets anymore. Didn't get team sheets, so we're kind of having to guess for like Twitter and people piecing and names together
and asking Ross
who at the minute doesn't really know either, so yeah, well, apart from it, well, he kens one name, but that's pretty obvious. Yeah. Why so again, they're playing alright. I don't know, they played pretty well, I thought, against Bonnie Riggin Parts. Cammy Quaid had a superb game and goals right at the end, because we pretty much pummeled them for the entire game, and then they came out kind of relaxed a little bit. The two midfielders I thought were really good. Then we had Friday against whoever it was, Broomhill. Is that 2-1, wasn't it? Friday, I can't even remember. The one.
That comes out of the old East Coast, West Coast thing.
That was a weird game.
I don't know how well they are in the league, and don't they acquitted themselves well, but they were quite happy to leave the boot in and get wired. You know what I mean? They took no prisoners.
Aye.
And they were, some of the tackles were tasty.
Well, I was standing with Ross McNamara, and there was a tackle, and the boy went over the 2-footed lunge over the top of the ball, right? One, the referee never even gave a card, which was astounding. And two, the Broomhill bench were up, and I'm saying it wasn't even a free kick. Like, are they kidding, man?
I think the way to describe it to folk, you know, it was easy to tell it was a 2 foot lunge when I think the boy had, like, say, he had grey boots on, he had red soles.
Aye.
So you could see the soles of his feet when he's launched his cell at the boy. And, like, don't get me wrong, nobody really said anything apart from that. You know, I mean, that's when everybody was throwing up in arms.
Crazy. It was a shocker. Like Ross said that, he said, if you're going to come and talk to the boy, you've got to book him. Other than that, it just kind of, it's almost just letting him go. You know, so, I don't know. Anyway, again, Citizens, Friday nights on the games that we're away from home. They're on the Spartans Academy pitch, usually about 8:15 for a kickoff. Kickoff time, anyway. Well worth going to see them. Got some decent looking players there. They're all quite young as well, this squad, this group of players. They're all about 16, 17, so if we can keep a hold of them and nuts them right, then I think we've got a really good few that will possibly make it coming through anyway, as long as we carry on with managers who will play them or have no fear of playing them, put it that way. Sorry, that's the 20s wrapped up. Pretty whistle stop there for them. Next topic, Meadowbank. How should we start it?
It's still there.
It's still there. Aye, it's built. It's nearly finished. There's not many construction issues anyway. There doesn't seem to be anybody working outside. Nah, so that's probably good, which means they're all working inside.
Well, should we go
with the bad news first, then we can get the good news at the way later. How about that?
Well, you better.
Well, the word on the street is we're not going to be back until next season, right? That's just for rumours that are patching together for people who live in the area from various other places and whatnot, right? We've had no word from the club about what's going on. I think there needs to be a statement pretty pronto about what's happening. We've tried to contact the club, we've had nothing. You know, even if it's just two paragraphs, a paragraph saying this is a state of play, this is what's going to happen, this is what we need to hear. That's all we need to hear. And it doesn't have to be, it shouldn't be in the programme, it shouldn't be coming, maybe through Twitter via a link to the website that has not been updated, by the way, in weeks, I may add. And I'll get onto that in Bobby's bonus. Party, I've got a two-pronged strategy there, by the way. Right? We're needing something from the club to tell us to stop these rumours going about the fan base, about when we're going back and when we're not going back. Because we're hearing stories from people who are maybe in the area, not connected with the club, I may add, who are saying, we're hearing it's not going to be until next season, right? We've had nothing for the club. There's nothing in the newspapers. We know we've got that Freedom of Information Quest, if Ember Alive, as we spoke about in the last pod. There's nothing. Right, media silence isn't going to help. We need to stop any rumours going on about the move immediately. That's just not good enough, quite frankly. Right, that media strategy is not going to work. Right, because people will just start putting rumours together, and it'll grow arms and legs, and you'll get nonsense out there, and it's not going to look good at all on anybody. Right. So that needs to be said. If it's going to be next season, just say it's going to be next season. I think we're all resigned to that fact anyway.
No, you know? I'm not. No.
Aye, well, most of us are. I mean, there's talk even like the SPFL are going to allow us because we're so late in the season. They're not going to allow us because we've only got so few games left and all this kind of rubbish. But we're not. But the thing is, you can go, but we're not getting told that. Nobody knows because the club aren't saying.
But we've already been, that's not in the rules anymore.
No, but that doesn't mean, aye, but what's an SPFL rule book? They just make it up as they go along. You know that. They did it with Hearts.
It wasn't in the rules though with Hearts either.
It was because we got done for it. Because we were going to stay at Meadowbank until we had to move. And then we got told we couldn't because we had to declare a stadium at the beginning of the season. We were directly told that.
Yeah, but that's subsequently, Hearts redeveloping is after since City's moved.
Aye, but the rule at the time hadn't changed.
Yeah, no, the rule had changed at Hearts. That's the rule has changed now as well, which we've been told.
Well, that's certainly all the information I'd had from various board members.
Well, when I'm standing at the 20s, somebody had told me that.
Fair enough.
So, these people that do their homework on these things. So, so the rule had changed when Hearts went in, probably because of what Hearts were doing, and then it's never
so essentially got changed anyway. That's what I'm saying. Just make it up as it go along.
No, it's got changed and it's been changed. It's not moved back. It's not changed back. So I don't see why it wouldn't. If we went in for the last eight games, you go in for the last eight games. You go in the last two. You go in the last two. So
would you want to go in for the last two games though?
Why not? Put you in, eh?
Well, Anyway, Ali, you want a quick word here before we go into the good news?
Yeah, I mean, the nets are in, so you drive past or walk past, you can see the goals in a second. I can take my ball down and boot one into the, well, the top corner. I can boot one somewhere near the direction of the goal, and celebrate. It looks, I thought for a while we'll not be in this season. So I've been resigned to that for a while, to be quite honest with you. Yeah, it's frustrating. It's been added to a pretty difficult season, you know, when we think of how excited we all were when the announcement came we were going back to Meadowbank. But yeah, I'm very much resigned to it being next season.
Aye. As I said in the group chat, I think as much as obviously I've led the way on here saying how much I hate Ainslie Park and I hate the Spartans, there's a wee bit of me that thinks it might actually be better just going waiting until next season and we can make a big show of it, big grand opening, maybe a glamour friendly beforehand or something, I don't know. And we can do that, make a big thing of it, get the press and all that kind of stuff involved. Because all the good kind of all excitement from the start of this season is just gone. I just really feel like totally exciting. And Friday nights as well kind of plays into that, I guess. Hopefully by then we'll have changed it back to a Saturday. We can have a wee nice day out. Maybe, well.
Maybe Friday nights to go back to Meadowbank.
Oh, right? Brilliant. Can't wait. Makes the difference to me. I've renewed my Speedway season ticket, so that'll tell you exactly what I'll be doing the Friday nights. You know, it would be nice for if it was a Saturday, we can kind of a wee bit in the Belfield, trot down, grand opening. Hello, everybody. How's it going? A wee section maybe for season ticket holders. Can we be sticking in that same season ticket holder seat? You know, then we can get everybody waving, you know, all that kind of stuff. Grand opening, maybe Neil Doncaster will turn up again, then we can boom. So, at the minute, we don't know what's going on. The club really need to put something out because this is just, it's becoming a bit of a nonsense, if I'm being brutally honest. You know, and we're getting people, like there's people asking us on Twitter and there's people asking us at grounds, what do you know? And that's simple answer is, as much as you guys do. So it's pretty poor, I think, on the whole.
Move on to the positives. Go on.
Move on to the positive stuff. As it's a matter of public record now, you can go and search it for yourself, and indeed other people in the area have already been doing it because they told me the planning permission for the new stand is in, and believe the date for determination is today, according to the website. There are various plans that you can look at. Some of them look very good. It's got a 1,200 stand, I think it was, with 200 seats and 1,000 standing, or whatever it was. It was going to hang and brought up to 2,000 in total for the between 500 and the other side. So whoever that adds up to 1,500, I don't think. My maths is terrible. Either way, it's going to essentially be there's going to be safe standing. There's going to be a middle bit with seats, a number of areas for people with disabilities and long-term health conditions, club shop in the corner, a fan zone at one side, toilets as well. I must say the plans look pretty good. I was pretty excited by reading them and looking at them. It's a huge positive if we can get that built. It was discussed, obviously it's been discussed numerous times here, there and everywhere else. Chairman Brown has never been shy in saying we're looking to build a new stand. So the plan permission application is in. So that's a huge positive. Ali?
I think when we saw that for the plans, they looked sensible. You know, it looks well set up. I'm glad there is the accessible seating in place for fans with disabilities. I think that's really good. I think the way it's set with two standing sections either side of like a central seated section, I like the idea of that, especially with bigger teams, you can maybe split the home and away fans. I think that would be good. You know, we just got to hope it should be a pretty simple planning permission process. When you looked at how it's constructed, I think it's basically Lego, to be honest with you. I think it'll get stuck together in no time, so hopefully it all goes through smoothly. The obvious hope is that if it is next season that we move to Meadowbank, that actually that's in place, the new stand is in place. That will be a challenge, obviously, but if the new stand could be in place at Meadowbank, because I think that will be needed to make it a decent place to watch the football. I suppose the other point was they made it pretty clear in the planning application that It would be available for other sports to use as well. So if there's athletic meets, for example, and I think that's really good, it helps, you know, kind of embed Edinburgh City as obviously main tenants of Meadowbank, but as part of the community, as part of Meadowbank there. So I think that should win us some favour and seems like a really sensible thing to do. And obviously you've got, like I said previously, that it would be the home for all of our teams, for the youth teams, for the women's team. So yeah, I think the stand was really happy when I saw the plans. It's I think as good as we could ask for. It's never going to be, you know, it'll still be a bit away from the pitch. The sight lines will be what they are, but I think it's probably as good as we could get. So yeah, just hoping it all gets approved and that they can get the construction underway in time for next season.
Aye, I must say, when I was looking at the plans, I was pleasantly surprised, actually, a little bit than I'd actually anticipated, I think. So I'm quite excited for that, actually. Rennie?
No, well, it looks really good. Sooner it's in, the better.
Aye, sooner it's in, sooner it gets built, sooner we can get going. As I say, you can look at the plans on the Edinburgh Council website. It's not really a secret or anything. It's public record. People can go in and view it. It was brought to my attention by somebody else that it was on the planning. So, yeah, do go and look at it. And fingers crossed that all goes smoothly, because I think we really need it, because I'm not quite sure that stand that's attached to the main building will be enough, really. 500 seats, I know it's the length of the track and all that, but it just seems a bit small, probably the best way to put it. And they still don't have a barrier in front of the seats. So if we do go back this season, can you imagine a playoff winner and they're going into the playoff final and that and getting a winner in the 90th minute, everybody just piled on the pitch, just everybody sprinted there. It'd be like players, fans, management team, maybe a referee like we had at Arbroath, who knows. So they're going to have to do something there. I mean, it's just, they're going to have some kind of barrier somewhere. Unless they're going to have advertisement boards or something on the pitch maybe, and that's going to be your barrier. I don't know. Anyway, right, so that's Meadowbank, as I say, pretty positive in that regard. Mr. Monk's Moans, take it away.
Yeah, I think for me, I will not moan about Raith Rovers' conduct over the last few weeks. To be honest with you, I think it's not an appropriate place for me to do. I would say the guys Sean and Andy did a very good podcast on the terrace on the, so I think it's worth listening to for anyone that hasn't, just to get an understanding of the impact clubs taking decisions like that can have on their fan base and their local community. But yeah, not really appropriate for me to have a moan, but I think my thoughts on it are well known and thoughts on that individual are well known. My moan actually is, and it's kind of come a bit from the last 2 weeks, is obviously at the start of the season, because of all the kind of the COVID restrictions and uncertainties, it was announced that, and I've mentioned this before, that clubs would still be able to stream games, you know, still have a kind of a streaming option. And it kind of started to die away, and most clubs have stopped it. We saw, obviously, Stranforfer had it. They have one of the automatic cameras. It was £8. It was fine. You know, it wasn't amazing, but it was perfectly good. There was any commentary. Stranraer was a bit more professional, was a couple of quid more, but you got two commentators, despite them being a few interesting takes from the commentary team, who to be fair do a very good job, and the camera work was relatively decent as well. I just don't understand why. I think it's pretty poor that it can be advertised as part of a season ticket and then taken away, to be quite honest with you. I think that's pretty poor from, and it's not just us that's taking the stream away, and it just feels to me like a real missed opportunity. The Premier League, sorry, Premiership clubs are still offering streams. You can see there's a full card of midweek games coming up. And if you look at the, you know, live football on TV, it's got all the different, you know, whether it's Aberdeen, whether it's Dundee United, whoever it is, they're all streaming it. I actually don't even mind if it was just in addition. So they would say, actually, if you can't make this game, even if you've got a season ticket, if you just pay a tenner or you pay a fiver if you're a season ticket holder, whatever it is, I just do not understand why we've taken the streaming option away. I don't think it would have any impact on attendances, to be quite honest with you. I think it was, especially currently when people are, you know, there's still the COVID isolation rules, people are, you know, still a lot going on in that regard. And it just feels like a bit of a misstep, not just from us, but it was actually being able to sit and watch for Forfar game and then the Stranraer game. Yeah. Again, it doesn't seem right that some of the league do it, some of the rest of the league don't do it. And the fact that it was advertised at the start of the season as part of your season ticket, to be honest with you, I think is, I'm not going to ask for refunds or anything like that, but I think it's pretty poor. I think it's a missed opportunity. I don't know what will happen next season. I assume they'll take the streaming away next season, to be honest with you. But I think, again, that would be an error. I think it should be left there as an option. Doesn't have to be in the season ticket, but as an additional, maybe a tenner for a one-off game or whatever, because I think it just does. Those who can't make the game for whatever reason, you know, to watch it. So yeah, pretty frustrated that we've been one of the clubs who's shut that down this year. I have to say, I think pretty poor from us.
Yeah, right, Ali. I think in the back, like, you had missed it because of health issues and in the family. I'm in isolation, like you said. I still get it with my heart season ticket. I know it's a bigger club and it's out late and etc. But you know, so I couldn't watch a game at all when I was in isolation. I think as long as there's isolation rules, I think these things will exist. How long the isolation rules, you know what I mean? Will they go away again? They'll probably go away at some point, but if it all kicks off again in the winter, when everybody starts to struggle again, like, you know what I mean? Like it was this year, because of the flu and stuff, and all this starts, if it all kicks off again, what are they going to do? You know what I mean? They kind of just set up again. I think, like, you hit the nail on the head, though. If it's part of your season ticket package at the start of the year, regardless of whether one person's watching it or 100 people are watching it, to take it away as part during that, I think that's a bit off. I agree with you on that.
I mean, we've said this, you can go through pretty much, I think we've said it in nearly every pod, it's high time Scottish football came into the 21st century, English football as well for that matter, because they don't really do it. I know you get through iFollow, but that's a bit, if you're on a Saturday at 3 o'clock and all this, unless you're abroad, you can't watch it and all that 3 o'clock blackout rubbish. We're all advocates of streaming sports, game centre packages, whatever you want. I think it's high time Scottish football started moving themselves into the 21st century. It's a revenue stream. For some clubs, it might be difficult for outlays, but that's when the league should be stepping in and saying, look, we can cover the costs. Or you have a centralised streaming service where it's borne by cost of all 42 clubs, and maybe the ones in the Premiership pay a wee bit extra. I don't know. However you want to do it. You know, there was a chat on Twitter last night with SPFL Media Watch, that Twitter account. Would you pay £20 for it, for like Prem games and all that, for the ones that aren't on Sky, because Sky aren't taking up the full allocation again? I was like, no, because £20 is too expensive. You know, if you've got to pay your Sky subscription and your TV licence to get your Championship games and a season ticket, I mean, that's £20 extra on top of that per month. Probably too much. But why not have a centralised streaming system? I just don't get it. I don't get why Scottish football isn't doing this. As you've seen with... sorry, happened about Speedway again, but the top league in Speedway in Britain has a deal with Eurosport, Discovery Sports, kind of idea. So what they've done for the Championship, which is the league below, they don't have any television, so they're going to have a centralised streaming service from next year, supplied by British Speedway. So you can sign up for however much it's going to be and you can watch your team away from home and all this kind of stuff. How they can't do that in Scotland for the Championship and below. You know what I mean? It can be done in other leagues. I don't see why it can't be done here. Anything else on that? Bobby's bonus. I don't want to start. Since I mentioned it anyway. I think whatever's happening at the club, we're keeping... like news not up to date, it's just gone all wrong over the last few weeks. The website has not been updated for weeks. And I mean weeks, you know what I mean? None of the scores have been updated in the fixture list. The squad list hasn't been updated. None of the women's fixtures have been updated. The front page just looks like the front page as it has done since Game of Second Tier. Hold on, suddenly it's just come up. Website under construction. Right. Yeah. Do you know, but there's nothing.
Does the club shop work?
Club shop isn't working. Nobody knows what's going on for getting merch. Sometimes the merchandise is open, sometimes it's not. I don't know, maybe Spartan side the key, mechanic get it, who knows? But do you know what I mean? There's people here desperate to buy gear and you can't get it. We're getting messages.
Holding material, we're not.
You know what I mean? We're getting messages like on the supporters club account going, do you know when the merch is open and blah blah. No, we don't. We know as much as you guys do. You know what I mean? People want hats in the winter because it's freezing cold. I'm probably needing several if you're at Ainslie Park. You know what I mean? Scarfs and all that kind of stuff. Revenue streams going because we don't know what's going on. You know, website's not updating. Twitter is all over the shop at the minute. You know, like Saturday, it just appeared from nowhere after looking like nobody was going to do it. You know, it just at the minute, the media side just seems a bit of a mess. I mean, it's not particularly befitting of what we should be as a league club. And I just think that there's something going wrong somewhere and it needs to be fixed pronto, right? And that includes statements saying what's going on with Memeda Bank. This includes more regular updates on Twitter. It includes more regular updates on Facebook and things like that. And it includes the website being updated. You know, it just seems like a bit of a shambles. And it's not just me that's noticed it, you know what I mean? There's other people who are messaging us and all that kind of stuff. I know. So I've not just picked this one out of the hat because I'm upset about it. This one's come from other fans as well. Any of you boys want to jump in there or can I move on to my next one?
No.
Ali?
Nothing else.
Carry on you go.
Right. Edinburgh Evening News. Another shambles. I have to do it again. I am sorry. The coverage we're getting at the minute is absolutely pish. You know what I mean? We've had two games in a row where we've got barely a paragraph in the evening news. Well, the shite are getting fucking full page spreads and pictures and everything. You know what I mean? They're barely putting up any stories we have on Twitter. You know what I mean? We're having to remind them constantly. And then they're making mistakes and errors in the newspaper about games and when they were played and things like that. It's just not good enough. You know what I mean? They keep saying, oh, you don't get the hits and all this kind of stuff. That's not good enough. You know what I mean? There's a reason you probably didn't get as many hits because your coverage is a shambles. You know? How are people might know anything? This may be the local press. And I get you've got Hearts and Hibs and all this kind of stuff, right? But we are the third league team and we should have, like, coverage befitting the team who are the third league team. And we don't get it. We've never had it, right? And I know we're probably screaming till we're blue in the face and we'll never, ever get it. It just pisses me off. It pisses me off totally. And like I've got no real problems with Neil McGlade, who writes our articles in the news, because he's spread quite thin, right? He's obviously got to do the Speedway as well. He's got to do our games, and I think he's got to do some of the Lowland League games as well. How can one guy be in three places at once?
Well, let's not give away those tricks in the trade.
Oh, but you know what I mean, though? I mean, there's, for example, as Ali pointed out in the group chat, Monday we got a paragraph. Fofa, probably one of our biggest wins of the season, and they got a paragraph and a bit. How could we either one? Right, I can understand if you can't get up to the court, it's a Monday night. Appreciated. How can you not have somebody, one of your reporters, sitting on the stream watching that and then reporting for that? I mean, what's wrong with doing that? Even if you claim your £8 back on evening news expenses, what's wrong? What's wrong with doing that? It's a joke. Everything about them is an absolute joke.
I think Monday night, you're right with Monday night, you know, there's been no other league football. Hearts played at the weekend, you know, Hibs played at the weekend.
Exactly.
And there's been no other league football. And, you know, our game would have been on a Tuesday, would have been in the press. So the roundup for the weekend would have been on the Monday, it would have been in the press on the Tuesday. I don't understand that yet.
I just don't get it. We've got such a good, we managed to get some decent coverage out of them after me completely whinging all the time on Twitter, right, pretty much on a weekly basis. You know, I had whoever was the editor saying apologise and all that, and it changed for a few weeks. Now it's just back to being rubbish again. You know, getting a paragraph here and there is not good enough. Right, and I don't know, some people still look at their website quite a lot. It's a disaster of a website at the best of times anyway. It's difficult to find us and it's tucked away in some section and you've got to go hunting for it. Everything about it is just haphazard and shoddy. Right? And I just don't think it's good enough for the local press to be treating it so poorly. Maybe they have got other teams that get bigger clicks, but at the same point, as I said, if you don't give the required coverage and it's not there, then why, how are you going to get clicks to the articles? You're not. You know, anyway, Ali.
No, I think it's difficult as we're trying to grow as a club and attract new people in. You are reliant on external media, not just stuff the club puts out. you're reliant on that to tell our story, to get people interested, and it just isn't happening. I actually don't think Edinburgh Live, for example, cover us at all.
I don't
believe they have anything on us, which is poor. And I don't know what the club are doing about that. I don't know if the club can find a way to try and be more accommodating. I know they used to give Ross Pilcher pretty much as much access as he wanted. You know, the coverage was really good when Ross was writing about us. And I think Ross is a friend of a friend, so I think he did get pretty much whatever he wanted with the players. He got as much time with the players, got to do it, which was really good. So I don't know if the club can maybe try and be a bit more accommodating, because I think there would be a real benefit in getting our story out there. And again, it's another thing, if we do go back to Meadowbank next season, if we have that new stand, if it's meant to be a new start, you want to have the local press on board to make sure it's a success. So that's something that I think you're right to pull up, because it's something we need to be aware of. And it's not just, it's maybe not just on the paper, it's maybe on our club as well to engage a bit more proactively with them.
I don't know. Like, I spoke to the chairman in the past about this, and he's tried as well. So I don't know if it's just they've just got no interest. You know what I mean? We're not the fashionable side, the teams that play in the city and all that kind of stuff. But I just think it's poor. You know what I mean? I'm too young to remember. I'm just going to say I'm too young to remember Meadowbank's covers, because I kind of am. But you know, just because I never really read the paper then, so it's I was young. But I don't know.
You're older, Sam, no?
No, they moved to Livingston when I was 15.
There you go. You must have been.
But it just depends if I was going to be paying attention to what I'm saying. No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I didn't really start reading newspapers till about uni. Well, I kind of flick through. You usually get the Daily Record, you flick through the back pages and look at the wee comic bit, and that's about it. But it didn't really pay attention. So I don't know if Meadowbank got such piss poor coverage as well. But again, I suppose at a different time and people actually read papers and bought them, whereas now nobody gives a shit. You know what I mean? If you want people to subscribe to the Evening News, you've got an entire fan base there who doesn't see anything about them, so why would they bother their ass? You know what I mean? So I'm pretty much sick of that. I'm sick of rain media coverage coming for rain team. Sick of a lot of things. Anyway.
The 49ers. Oh, no, wait. Sorry.
Just remember, there's more LA Rams in your gaff than there was in their entire stadium. You just piped in, son. You just piped in. St. Louis Rams fan in the corner. Anyway. That's going to be an entertaining Sunday. I didn't realise it was so late. I thought it was a wee bit earlier. I'm going to end up falling asleep during the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, do we have anything else we'd like to add, gentlemen?
No, we just apologise for everybody who's listened, or thank them who's listened the whole lot, because we're getting close to 2 hours now. So
That's brilliant. Mr. Pixel 5?
Counting down the Fridays until I don't have to, counting down the days until I don't have to spend my Fridays freezing almost to death at Ainslie Park. There can't be that many. There can't be that many of them left.
How many have we got left? Because I'm back to Armadale on the 15th of April. So
you'll not get many.
Brilliant. I just thought it'd been Ainslie Park. Fantastic. Anyway, right, so that's that. Usual housekeeping. If you want to join Supporters Club, do email us clubcitizens@yahoo.com. If you want to follow us on Twitter, that'll be at Club Citizens. If there's anything you want to see in the podcast, please tell us. Anything you want to tell us to take out, we'll listen to you and tell you bugger off anyway. We have an away bus going to Annan, which at the current is full, run by our friend Ash Wilson on his ECFC Away Days Twitter page. So keep an eye on that in case there's anybody dropping out and you would like to come. Obviously, we're looking at some other buses for other games, so keep an eye out on that. That's the place to go and look. He's our de facto bus convener. But we've done well. We've got a full bus going to Annan, which is pretty good, so we're quite happy with that. Apart from that, I don't think is there any other housekeeping that we need to bother about? Like us on whatever podcast app you use. Spotify, Anchor, Apple, and all the rest of them. We'll be on YouTube.
Thanks to our new listeners from around the world.
I forgot about that.
They seem to be expanding far reaches of the globe.
I get the stats for what countries listen to. Our latest one is Russia from Moscow. So if that's by Vlad Putin, stop being a dickhead about Ukraine. Listen to us and plow all your billions in Edinburgh City. We're a great club. So whoever it is actually from Russia, thank you very much. You're one and only person that's listened to us from there. So if it's somebody, it might be somebody on holiday, I don't know, but props to them.
It's quite a unique fan base if we've got somebody, him listening to us, and then the boy from North Korea listening to us as well.
What was it?
Just as well, Saddam Hussein's not kicking about 3 days. You know, it would be quite a unique fan base if we would have, but, you know, it's ale. We've certainly got a catchment for a certain people.
It's weird, because when you look at the stats of Anchor, it tells you the percentages of everything. Obviously, the UK is the biggest, right? Then America is second. And then we're into like other countries, Northern Ireland, like, so Northern Ireland, England, Scotland, England, and all that kind of stuff. America, I think Canada's in there somewhere. And then we get into like all these far-flung places like Puerto Rico and Russia, Japan, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, I don't know any citizens for there. You go around asking, do you know any citizens that live in Japan? I've got no idea. You know what I mean? So I don't know if it's people on holiday, if it's expats, if it's people just clicking on the wrong podcast. Edinburgh City, what's that? Click. Oh, look at these boys, I'm mostly them. football, rubbish. So even if you have clicked on that accidentally, thanks for tuning in. So anyway, on that note, thank you for all your listens. It is really appreciated. We've got through one of our first big landmarks over the last few weeks, so we're delighted with that. As we say, we're also on YouTube if you'd rather watch us. Obviously, with this one, it might be a bit difficult because Ali is otherwise known as Pixel 5 today because I had to do it on his phone.
We'll see what we can do.
But he's going to slap a face on there. So apart from that, thank you, guys. If you can, just share it about, retweet us, whatever you want to do. Share it around your pals. We'd much appreciate that. So on that, it's a good night from Mr. Rooney.
Good night. Take care, folks, and stay safe. Let's start treacherous time.
And that's a goodbye from Mr. Moncrief.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
And that's a goodbye from me, the Right Rev. Goodbye.